Hello, and welcome to What's Brewing, CISFA? What's Brewing, CISFA is a podcast produced for the California Community Colleges Student Financial Aid Administrators Association. I'm your host, Dennis Schrader. I serve as the 2020-2021 CISFA president.
And I'm Dana Yarbrough, Dennis's fellow employee at Los Angeles Mission College.
What's Brewing, CISFA hopes to inform and entertain you 30 minutes at a time.
So let's start the show. And welcome to another episode of What's Brewing, CISFA. Let's start this show with our first cup.
And a happy new year, Dana. And I hope you poured a big cup for today's show.
I absolutely did, you know, because I got to recover from all the, you know, festivities.
Festivities?
of last night slash this morning.
Yes, exactly. Yes. We're actually had to get up on time today, you know,
for
a vacation day. And I was literally just about to set the alarm for a little extra time. And then something in my head kicked in. And said, wait a minute, we're recording a podcast. So, you know, quarter to eight, I figured it all out, thank goodness.
Oh, I'm glad too. I'm glad. It took me a minute too, though. I'm on the same page with you. Mm-hmm. You know, I had to really think about it. Well, I set the reminder on my phone.
Okay, yes.
Uh-huh. So, yeah, to help me out.
Yes, our national and international audience missed you on Tuesday.
On Tuesday,
Did the I Dare You To recap of our books. From our last 50 episodes.
Man, I know that was fun.
Yeah, it was. You know, it was. We both had some great selections. Our interviewees had a number of books on the list. I don't even know if I got to every single one, but for those who download or forget to download episode number 50, you'll find it in the show notes, the list of all the books that I recapped on. That episode. So definitely catch episode 50 to hear of all the wonderful books and reading material we brought forth throughout the year. Me, Dana, our interviewees, just a great list. I did my best also, Dana, to help support our local booksellers.
Awesome.
So when possible, the link to the book will take you to a local Southern California book reseller. If they did not have it in stock, I went to like a Barnes & Noble type, you know. Okay. And in worst case, I went to that behemoth conglomerate that will ship everything in a box to you.
Yes.
But we'll try to share the love. You know, feel free to buy books wherever you want to, people. But, you know, try to support your local small bookstores.
Absolutely.
Now, do you know of this? You know, that just makes me think about, have you heard of this one, Powell's, up in Oregon?
No, I haven't heard of Powell's. The local bookstore in my area is called Tia Chucha's.
Oh, yes. And, I've heard of that.
Yes, uh-huh. So they're popular in my community because they're also like a cultural center as well. Mm-hmm. But no, I haven't heard of Powell's.
I think they're like one of the biggest independent booksellers in like Oregon.
Oh, wow.
Somewhere. Okay. I can't remember if they're exactly in Portland, but I assume everything is always in Portland. So let's say they are. But I guess remember them being kind of like the big dogs out there. So maybe we'll throw some love their way too. Yeah. If you're looking for a book, they're like the place.
Okay.
I used the one out in Pasadena, Vroman's.
Vroman's, yes. Uh-huh.
Which again is our big local bookseller and one of the last ones really around. So throw them some love too. when you're down here.
Yeah.
Well, let's look at our list here. So today's episode, everyone, is the compendium of all of our I Dare You To Listen To and I Dare You To Watch selections from our past episodes. So I did my best going back to past show notes and what we put on every episode when you go out to like Apple Podcast or Google Podcast or whatever and you see the list of episodes and then you see the little descriptions that I type up, you'll usually see links to these things. So going back, I see that I think our first listen or watch option that I put out there was a podcast from a comedian, Pete Holmes. And he does a podcast called You Made It Weird. And usually because Pete Holmes is kind of an interesting comedian. I don't know if you've heard much about him. Dana? Much?
No, I can't recall.
Okay.
But I know you always mention his podcast.
Yeah. Tall, skinny, white guy. You know, okay. White guy humor. What can you say? But no, he's pretty funny. But he's also very, I don't want to call him new agey, but he's, you know, he's both religious and spiritual all at once or whatever. And so occasionally those are the tangents he goes into are more about like life type of things. And he's pretty well spoken on things. And now what he's been doing since everyone's been holed up the last few months, he does it as part of his You Made It Weird podcast. He does a We Made It Weird with his wife. So his wife is a entertainer of some sort. I'm not really sure what Valerie. Valerie is his wife. I always have to remember we have Valerias in the world, like a couple of them working in our office. But Valerie, his wife, and I guess had a kid. He'll join the show, and again, they have some very similar life and spiritual thoughts and all. And they'll talk about life and parenting and kids. And but the way they tell they say how they're recording is they one night of the week. They get a babysitter for the kid, and then they drive away in the car, and they park in a parking lot at like a store or something, and then they record the podcast in the car.
Record it. Yeah. Okay.
So check that out. You know, I think it's, you know, usually it's an episode or two a week. I was just finishing up his interview with actor Justin Long. You know, he's the guy that did the, remember the I'm a Mac commercials? That was him. He was in Galaxy Quest. He was in one of the later Die Hards as the nerdy kid. and he's been on a variety of other things. He's a pretty interesting actor, nonetheless.
Okay.
Now, Dane, I see the next one on the list was one that you brought forth, the episode right after that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I got to say, you turned me on to this, too. Yeah, the Tiny Desk mini concert series that they do on NPR, National Public Radio.
Yes, yes. One of my favorites. And this show caters to all musical, on the musical spectrum, like whatever you like, I'm pretty sure you'll find your artist. So basically, the artist is performing at the NPR studio. It's like a set up like an office space.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like literally a small office space. But now, you know, due to COVID, most of the artists are, they're recording from their homes, or if they're recording in a studio, it's just with their band. It doesn't have the live audience that it usually does. But man, Dennis, and some of my favorite shows are, you know, of course, Thundercat, Common. Oh man, so many. Erykah Badu, Lizzo, and you have a few favorite shows too, right?
Yeah, I'm thinking it was Jason Isbell was on there. I'm trying to think. I don't think Mumford & Sons was, but there's another one of my more favorite, like, Avid Brothers style musicians that were on there. You know, again, more acoustic. So in that setting, that tends to wear better in a sense, right?
Absolutely.
Because, yeah, it's like a little cramped office, little desk area.
Yeah.
Library full of books and behind them. And they get set up and do a little concert. Yeah, it's really great. I've turned on at least... a professor, a friend of ours from the college, and at least one other person to it, and talking to him over this COVID thing about, you know, things to watch and where to get good music and stuff like that online.
That's the place. That's the place to go. So, and I think you mentioned something really important is it'll hip you to artists that you may have not even thought about listening to. Or, so it'll open up your... what's the word I'm looking for here, Dennis?
I'd say open up your eyes, but we could say open up your ears.
Yeah, right? There we go. Open up your ears.
And for some of the music, like Thundercat, open up your mind.
Oh, man.
Right? Because that's an interesting, funky dude.
He is. He's very interesting. And and the new album that he has, It Is What It Is. Come on. You guys listening, don't sleep on it. Check him out.
Yes, exactly. Pretty darn good at his instrument. He knows what he's doing.
Everyone. Oh, man. One of the best bass players.
Well, Tiny Desk kind of flows in to the thing that I put out there in the same show, which is something I've been watching for years, too. First, it was only on the internet. And then somewhere along the line, like MTV Live or one of those channels that does a lot of concert stuff started picking it up, is Live from Daryl's House. And this is, you know, Daryl Hall of fame of Hall & Oates. Everybody, if you don't know Daryl Hall and John Oates, or known as Hall & Oates, they were like the biggest duo ever back in the 80s. They started recording in the late 60s. Do you know what college they met at?
UCLA.
No, I'm gonna give you the city. They were known as, and they don't take offense to it, the Blue-Eyed Philly Soul Sound.
Oh, okay.
So they met at Temple University, about out there in the Philly world, and their first band was known as the Temp Tones. Yeah, there you go, right? Okay. That's really creative stuff, yeah.
A take on the Temptations, okay.
Or Temple, you know, yeah. Temple, but yes. Their style of music. And so, you know, Hall & Oates still do record once in a while. They still do concerts when we're back on tour and stuff. But Daryl Hall moved, like, upstate New York, bought a gigantic, like, barn farmhouse, turned part of it into a studio, and would bring in a variety of musicians. And this is where I've bought dozens of albums of new artists and listened to them. That's where I found like Fits in the Tantrums.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Ben Folds is on there. Awesome. Well, now some more established ones like Smokey Robinson, Billy Gibbons, who's the guitarist from ZZ Top. But it's a series of, you know, bringing in those musicians. Usually the episodes run an hour, so they play a few songs of Daryl's or Hall & Oates songs. They play a few songs of the artist. Somewhere in there, they do some cooking. So they're in the kitchen.
He profiles them a little bit, too.
Yeah, yeah. He'll talk to them, find out about them. Usually it's after the cooking when they're sitting down with the band and eating, they'll start talking about music and the music industry and their thoughts and where things are going. And so it's a real interesting, there's got to be like 100 episodes by now. I think it got so popular at some point, he moved from recording at his house. He bought like a restaurant with a performance area. Okay. Again, he's upstate New York somewhere. And that's where now they do the recordings. Made a little more room.
Okay.
But yeah, definitely check that out.
You hit me to that show. And so when I check them out, some of my favorite shows are he has the OJs on there, and CeeLo Green too. That one.
Oh yes, I remember CeeLo. Yes, yes. Uh-huh. And then is it Aloe Black? Is the artist?
Yes, yes.
Yes, he was on there. And so again, he had, you know, one hit that came out, and that's what I knew him by. But he was a pretty damn good singer. You know, he knew what he was doing. So I love when artists are like that.
Yes.
So definitely check that out. They're doing reruns of those still on either Access or MTV Live. But if you go out to the website, you can find out more. I hope that Daryl will do new ones soon.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's see what else is on the list. I had a couple albums. Jeff Goldblum, for those of you who don't know, he's, of course, an actor. He's been in those Independence Day movies. He was The Fly. He's been in just about everything you can think of as far as movies go. But he plays piano, too. And so he put out a couple albums, and one of them's called The Capitol Studio Sessions. And he plays jazz, and this is like a live recording from the Capitol Studio building. You know, in my case, down the street from where I live. But some really great jazz standards. He's got some interesting singers that come on the show. He's got Sarah Silverman comes and sings with him, comedian Sarah Silverman, and a couple other Haley Reinhardt, is it, maybe? That name sound familiar?
It does.
Uh-huh. Okay, she's there on it for a couple songs. So check that out. And then another one of my favorite artists who are from like Maine or New Hampshire, somewhere far, far away in the deep woods, a group called Ghost of Paul Revere. And they have a new album out that I was listening to called Good at Losing Everything. So check that out, too, if you can find it. It's a little hard to find. When I first found their album, because they're very Avett Brothers style music, you know, a lot of acoustic instruments, guys singing, you know, occasionally some female backing parts. You could either buy it only through their website, the downloads, or you had to go to this little music store in the main area called Bull Moose Records. And that's how I ended up buying their CDs. And I bought some other local stuff. So there's some interesting local stuff coming out of the Maine, New Hampshire, New Jersey area out there. you know, dig into it. Now, Dane, I see the next thing on the list. Jana Cox, who was one of our interviewees, had suggested, and I don't know, do you watch this show at all? The Masked Singer?
No, I don't watch The Masked Singer.
Okay,
right.
That was her suggestion for, I don't want to call it brainless TV, but it's definitely TV that is purely all about entertainment, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I believe
it looks exciting though, mm-hmm. with, you know, the artists in the costumes and, you know, the panel of judges.
Yes.
And the audience. Yeah.
I have seen the offshoot of this, which is now The Masked Dancer.
Okay.
I was flipping through the channels and, you know, when you're bored during the holidays and you're at home, I caught the last 15 minutes of the show where they eliminate somebody. You know, it's like every other show. They eliminate someone, right? And they were trying to guess who this person was. And so supposedly, I guess they put out hints in their costumes to who they are.
Oh, okay.
Right? Like, so one of them had the big letter J on his costume in one of the weeks. Another time he said or sang something about something. And so they're trying to guess who it is. And they weren't even getting close because they were picking more, you know, people you'd think to be singer dancer types. It ended up being Ice-T, right? Was the one who got eliminated, who was doing the singing and the dancing. And so he was explaining how his costume, like the letter came from his character name from when he did like Law and Order. And then something from one of his first movies, you know, a character name. And, you know, so none of them obviously caught on to that, but he was, so they've got a wide variety of people on the Masked Singer and Masked Dancer show out there, in case you're looking.
Was his first movie Colors?
It may have been. That might have been.
Oh, okay.
And I'm trying to think if one of his hints in his costume or whatever was possibly related to that or his character's name.
Okay. It do you remember that movie back in the day?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's what made me want to move to L.A. No, I'm just kidding, everybody. If you watch Colors, first of all, you have to remember it is set during a certain time. And it's not all real.
But so many actors in that movie. Mm-hmm. Man, so many actors.
Yes.
It's cool.
No doubt. Cool. Yeah. No doubt. Well, Dana, we're at that point in the show where I think we're going to do a little new music again. And then lead ourselves into our next segment.
And welcome back for our second cup segment on the What's Brewing CISWA show.
Fill up our cups, everyone, so we can pick up on the list wherever we just left off. And controversy on the list already. Not even real controversy, but The Social Dilemma on Netflix. This was a Dana pick. And I'll tell you, Dana, I think we talked after I had recorded last show that I had started watching this.
It's so good, Dennis.
It really is. People, if you are not watching The Social Dilemma or have Netflix, go find an illegal DVD copy if you can, but definitely.
Come, you know what? Email us, yes. And I'll hook you up.
No kidding. We'll make an illegal 8mm film of this. It basically goes along with everything I've read and or heard or believe. Even if you don't believe every single thing in the movie, it's a documentary, but they do some reenactments.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they, again, it's all about what we forget about in this culture is when you're getting something for free, you're not getting something for free. We all think Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and all those other wonderful social medias are free.
Mm-hmm.
And thus there would be we don't want to call it wicked or nefarious thoughts behind how they use our data.
There's a cost behind it, yeah.
But there is a cost behind it on how they drag you in. And so the reenactments are the parts that I find very interesting. And that's why. Yes. And this is also why I'm only halfway through the movie. Because, in short, there's a scene about halfway through. Again, there's some reenactments of a family where the young daughter has a phone, the teenage son has a phone, the parents have a phone, and somewhere along the line, the mother like takes all the phones away so they can have a meal.
Oh, yes.
And so this is the scene I stopped at. All I'll say is something the young daughter does to get her phone back.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Can't sit, you know, for 30 seconds in a meal. No, I'm like, couldn't. In my day, if that was me, my mom would have, you know, smacked me so hard across a room, I'd wake up next Tuesday.
I'd be dead, Dennis.
Oh, yeah. I don't think any one of us would have survived this. So see the movie just for that social dilemma. It will make you think twice about what you share, whether you share it all. And why you're using social media and what it's really doing to society. And again, one of the set of books I don't know if I covered on the show here was from that Jaron Lanier guy. Big dude that talks about virtual reality in life and why you should get off social media and stuff like that. He's in there quite a bit to talk.
Yes, but
Tristan Harris and some other key characters in the founding of Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest type sites talk about, again, all the types of data that's collected and how it's used.
Absolutely.
In a sense, used against you.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, Dana, that was a fantastic selection. I'm going to finish it up this weekend when I finally get the strength to get through the last half of the film. But, you know, we had even better suggestions that were right after that, a couple episodes later, you'd put out there. To use 3 hours of your time or more to watch The Godfather. And I threw in, you should definitely see 2 and 3. Then we had some discussion, I know.
Yeah, we do. I think, didn't we debate whether or not you should even spend time on 3?
Yes, we did. I'm a completist when it comes to things like that.
I understand. You know. Because when we, here in our household, when we start watching it, usually it starts out with one. It's like, oh, man, you just fall into the trap. You just go ahead and finish off 2 and then somehow fall into 3.
Exactly. Because it's the way I collect movies from Albert Brooks. I have to have them all. It's the way I listen to albums from my favorite artists like Elvis Costello. I need to have them all so that I can have the full range of understanding the artist and where they come from. So, and that's why I said, yeah, definitely do Godfather 1, 2, and 3.
Mm-hmm. And then I have to add under there Casino, because mom was watching that over the week.
Oh, yeah. So. Well, and then once you're on Casino, you're all your friends will be like, of course you're going to watch Goodfellas too, right?
Oh, yeah. Okay. So if you're going to go to Goodfellas, then you got to go to The Irishman.
Oh, my God. So, everybody, take your whole Saturday, because just between The Godfather 3 movies, the 3 movies, 1, 2, and 3, and The Irishman, that is half your day. Not half your day. Your waking day, half your day, 12-plus hours right there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Wow, Dana. You went there.
I did. We went down the rabbit hole for a minute there.
Now, let's talk about something you can binge that doesn't take 3 hours every one to binge. Another Dana selection, True Detective on HBO. Yeah.
First season.
Okay, I was going to say, any particular season?
First season. Mm-hmm. That's, first season is with, help me out here, Matthew McConaughey and Woody Harrelson, I believe.
Yes, I believe that was correct, yes.
Uh-huh, yeah.
I will agree with you, even though I haven't seen many of the episodes at all, but in talking to friends who are HBO subscribers, first season, good. Second season, not so much. But, you know, everyone goes back to how great the first one was. Mm. So definitely that. Best.
Yeah.
Now, not related at all, but I'm going to throw out there real quick. Linda Williams, past president of CISFA, came on the show weeks later and talked about Brené Brown, one of her favorite podcast that she listens to by this lady, and also has done some TED Talks, a lot about empathy, having it, understanding it, using it properly. I'll throw out there that, again, Brené Brown, I happened to catch her being interviewed by Alan Alda on his podcast that I listen to regularly on communication. And so definitely find her if you can, Brené Brown, B-R-E-N-E is her first name. last name Brown. But going then back into the TV world thing here, I see we have Fargo on the list. Man.
Yes.
That was actually your pick, I think, a few episodes later, episode number 40 on FX. And you're talking, of course, about Fargo, the TV series. Show.
Yes, uh-huh.
And it's certainly this FX. Series right now, which is what, Kansas City-based with Chris Rock?
Yeah, Chris Rock and Jason Schwartzman.
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, the last season was good. All you guys listening, so good. I'm gonna just put a disclaimer out there. But Fargo in general is graphic. You know, it's violent.
Uh-huh,
so this last season is definitely
violent and graphic.
Violent.
Now tell me if our next pick on this list is violent. Jingle Jangle.
Christmas
Journal Journey on Netflix.
The opposite,
maybe?
On the opposite spectrum. Duh. Man, you got, you know what? If you have not watched Jingle Jangle, I don't know. You need to come talk to me. I need to hook you up on this one, too.
Seeing it is on Netflix, and I haven't cut my Netflix cord yet. I've been paying for it for months now during this whole fiasco. Let's call it. I picked it up in the summer. I've yet to probably pass the 12 hours of watching point.
Okay.
So I'm getting to the point where I'm trying to figure out why I'm sending money to them. But I have Jingle Jangle on my list.
Okay.
I will be getting to it soon. And then you had, what's this other one on? Another Netflix pick of the Queen's Gambit.
Oh, yeah, Queen's Gambit.
Everybody I hear is talking about the Queen's
so
Gambit.
So good.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I'm so sorry. I can't think of the actress's name.
I can't either.
That plays the main character. But she's amazing. She's in another movie that I really, really like called The Witch, but that's a whole nother conversation.
Okay.
But anyways, you guys definitely check out Queen's Gambit. It's about chess. Well, she's this amazing chess player.
Yeah, it's something different.
I don't know what else I can say about that.
See, when I first saw that, I assumed it was another show about some Queen of England thing.
Oh, no, because she's dealing with, it takes place during, I want to say, like 50s and 60s.
I think that sounds right, yeah.
Right, uh-huh. So, she's a young woman, and she's a protege. She also deals with addiction and other family trauma and issues. So watching her work through that, and also kick ass, sorry, Dennis.
No problem, go on.
In the chess world as a woman, you know, so it's a lot of good themes.
Yeah, so I definitely have that on my list too.
Yeah.
I will try to get to that. Uh-huh. Now, something I don't have to worry about having a subscription for here was your suggestion to check out, you talk about someone kicking butt, James Brown videos from the Tammy Show, T-A-M-I, Tammy Show, which was from like the 1960 era.
Yes, uh-huh.
Those you can find out on YouTube. But definitely check that out. Those are interesting.
And I would suggest when you watch his segment, watch the whole thing. Because, when you look at it on YouTube, they'll like break it up. Because it's like a whole set. It's like 15 minutes. So sometimes they'll when you find it or search for it, it'll break up the songs that he sings. But I would suggest to watch the whole 15-minute set. It's on that level.
Absolutely.
If you need a good pick-me-up, you need to feel good about yourself, watch that.
Yeah. Other things that make you feel good out there, I'm going to jump around here on our list. From David Shook, one of our guest interviewees, he put out there a book series by Jocko Willink, who's a former Marine, but he has a Jocko podcast. So he suggested, we should listen to that. And again, it's more motivational, self-esteem, things like that. His book series is The Warrior Kid book series. It's about being strong as a kid, and it's something that he had looked for his kid. I'll throw out there Hometown on HGTV is one of my favorite TV shows because it isn't satirical or sarcastic. It's just straightforward. Two people down in Mississippi who live in a teeny tiny town who go around and fix up the teeny tiny, mostly historical homes of town as people from either outside of town come back or people inside town are trying to buy houses. And so it's just two nice people doing that. I see also here we've got holiday movies. Dana, let's just ask you, do you have any particular holiday movie or movies that you saw this year that you really liked?
Yes, Yes. Okay. So I revisited one of my favorite movies. And mm-hmm. I don't know if you can say it's a holiday movie, but it came out during the Christmas season.
Okay.
It was Dreamgirls.
Oh, okay.
Yes. That's like, you remember that's Jennifer Hudson's breakout.
Yeah. It's hard to believe that movie's got to be 15 years old.
Ooh.
Or more.
It's kind of, I'm more like 10, I think.
Oh, okay.
But it is. Okay. It's up there.
Yeah. This is part of the game show we're going to create, which is called Live or Dead. Uh-huh. But it's basically going to be, you're going to have a buzzer and you'll have only two choices. And it'll be something like Dreamgirls, and you'll have like two choices of years the movies could have been out. 1998 uh-huh. or 2008, and you have to hit the button. And it'll be like names of actors. Abe Vigoda, Live or Dead. You know, guess that kind of stuff. But okay. That's what it makes me think about. I'm trying to think. I saw, and I hadn't seen for a while, and I caught it, luckily, pretty much right at the start on TV. A more recent Christmas movie, I think, that's getting a lot more credence from people, Elf.
Oh, man, so funny that you mentioned that movie.
Yeah.
So, because I always ask my mom, Mom, what holiday movie are you're mm-hmm. watching? Oh, they're always showing Elf.
Yeah.
Elf and National Lampoon Christmas Vacation. But those are the two, like, best movies ever.
Yeah, National Lampoon Christmas Vacation, I'm okay with. But I don't need to see again. Another one that I don't mind that's kind of decent is Fred Claus.
Yeah, that one's cool, too.
Yeah, it's kind of newer. Yeah. Vince Vaughn, I think I saw that one in the theater.
Oh, okay.
Maybe.
And I like Paul Giamatti as Santa Claus.
Yes, I think he does a very good job of that.
He does an excellent job, yes.
I think Vince Vaughn and his character and his interaction with the tiny elf that he stays is good. Uh-huh. And then Elizabeth Banks, too, because that's like the love interest of one of the elves. Mm-hmm. It's kind of funny. Yeah. So add that to your list. And lastly on our list, I don't know why I have a CD here. Oh, well, that was my mistake. I'm going to say here the last movie we'll talk about, or I should say TV show, but it's really mm-hmm. a series,
yes.
The Mandalorian on Disney+. You guys,
please don't sleep on this second season. I finished binging it this week. It's amazing. And that last episode is going to be a tearjerker.
Yeah. So The Mandalorian.
If I can say... You'll find out more about the child. He has a name, and he has an origin.
That's right.
Yes.
And we find this all out before they cut him in half. I'm just kidding. I don't know. I don't see the people. I'm kidding. I don't have Disney Plus yet. Talking about the child, Dana. Did you get anything for Christmas?
Santa was so good to me this year, Dennis.
I can only assume you got stuff.
Man, I got all kind of stuff, but. Yeah. One gift in particular I received is this beautiful minimalist semi-portrait of the child. It's amazing.
Yes.
Yes.
I had to dig for that one. Yes, there's an artist down in Southern California. I think he lives in Orange County somewhere, but he's a big baseball fan for one, so he does a lot of baseball art, as you know. Has gotten legal rights to do stuff from like the Bugs Bunny world and also from Star Wars. And so, yes, if you find S. Preston is his name, the letter S. dot Preston. He does this minimal artwork and he did one of the child. And so I saw this. And so that was my gift to Dana for being a good sport through all of this. On the show. So I hope
you
enjoy that. And so we're at the end of our list. Why don't we take a little more musical break? Come back for our last sip. And just like that, we are back now. Our last sip segment. Get that in, everybody. So, Dana, we've ran through the list. Do you have a new I Dare You To selection, the first of 2021?
Yes, I do. Yes. So, being on vacay has given me an opportunity to binge watch all kind of stuff. So I'd been coming across this show. It's called Truth Seekers. It's with Nick Frost and Simon Pegg, and Malcolm McDowell is in it too. Mm-hmm. So it's like a supernatural type of series, and it's on Prime.
Okay.
Yeah. Have you heard of it?
You know, I probably have seen it on my Amazon Prime. I was just watching a bunch of other stuff on Amazon.
Okay.
Before my box told me that I should get an upgrade. Apparently my Amazon Prime is a little old. So okay. it only cost me like $20, but I just got it and I have to plug in the new thing. So I haven't seen it yet, but okay, Truth Seekers TV.
Yes, uh-huh.
Pretty good.
Yeah, so yeah, if you're into like again, like supernatural stuff, like
okay.
Ghosts and the afterworld and all of that, yeah, definitely check it out. It's humorous, so you know, it's not like anything serious or heavy or anything like that. It's, you know, if you just want a good laugh, you know, okay. and switch off, check that out. Now, and then if you want extra laughs, I've been binge watching Reno 911 as well because I love Miss Neeson.
Reno 911.
Oh man, that show's on out of control. Did this.
I got you. It's one of those shows that I really have to be into watching.
Yeah,
because that kind of humor.
Oh,
sometimes
man.
To me can be a little grating.
It's so good.
Put it nicely. But nice,
oh, man.
Nice. I'll throw out there my only suggestion being that it is a new year, and people will set goals and resolutions and all. Maybe get something to set yourself on the right path. David Pogue, who was more or less a tech writer back in the day. I mean, he's still around, of course. He's worked and written for the New York Times. He put out books in the last 3 or 4 years called Pogue's Basics. And so the first book he put out is Pogue's Basics, subtitle of Essential Tips and Shortcuts That No One Bothers to Tell You for Simplifying the Technology in Your Life. And it's a really good book. So it's just little tips on how to better yourself and how to use or fix the technology in your life. But he also then put out a book on money and a book on life, like just life hacks and all, whatever you want to call it. And again, they're all essential tips and shortcuts for bettering yourself. So it's kind of like a DIY book on how to better understand your technology, money, and things in life. You know, everything from if you're going to travel, how best to select your flight, when to buy it, how to book your hotel. You know, when it comes to money, how to understand the power of, you know, time in investments, how to buy a car, whether you buy your own cable box instead of renting it. All those kinds of things are covered in his book. So I put out there 3 guides that he put out. Maybe he's got a 4th book. I don't know. But those are my suggestions for the coming year. Dana, are you ready for 2021?
Let's go. Let's get it started.
That's what I say, too. And if you hadn't noticed, Dana, we have new music in the background. What do you think of it so far?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Yeah.
I figured we had a new year.
Uh-huh.
That's why we have this new music, everybody. Same podcast and all. We ran a little long today, but don't worry about that. I mean, we're at our end of our show. But you'll hear more of us in the coming weeks. We'll keep recording shows from here until the end of time, maybe. Well, we'll find out, I guess. Well, that's about all we have time for today, but there's always our next episode. So I want to thank my co-host Dana for joining us today on What's Brewing CISFA, and thank you, our audience, for tuning in.
And hey, everyone, check out the CISFA website at CISFA.org. That's CCCSFAAA.org. And if you have something to say or you have topics you want us to discuss, email us at WBCISFA@gmail.com.
For this and all What's Brewing CISFA podcasts, find our feed through Google Podcasts at podcast.google.com. Or for those using Apple devices, open your podcast app. Find us by searching for CISFA. You can also find our episodes at wbcisfa.podbean.com. That's the words pod and bean as one word. And you can find us on Spotify, Pandora, iHeartRadio, and now on TuneIn, the app on your Amazon Echo I use an Alexa.
What's Brewing CISFA is a production of Studio 1051, a creative collaboration of Dennis and myself.
And this has been episode number 51, recorded the morning of Friday, January 1st, 2021.
Happy New Year, everyone. Have a great day.
Hey, and everybody, have a great weekend.